Could we turn to the Gospel of John for a scripture reading again, to John chapter 20. And we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 20, and reading from verse 1 of the chapter. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have led him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just unite in a word of prayer afresh. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come to this sacred place. We thank thee for this place where the stone was rolled away. We're glad that the tomb was empty. We're glad, our God, of these evidences of our Saviour's resurrection. And our God, we come by faith to trust in what was done. And we can say that Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Bless, O God, as we gather around thy word now. We'd ask thee for that wisdom and understanding, that thou wouldst speak to our hearts and that thou wouldst bless it to our souls. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, we come to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The awful events of the crucifixion had taken place. We think of those dreadful scenes as man did his worst upon the Son of God. And yet there is a glory in the cross for us, because we today recognize what it meant for our lives. But when the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross, it would have been the usual custom to have taken the body, and they would have cast it into the valley of Hinnom, where there was a rubbish heap, and the fires constantly burning the rubbish of the city of Jerusalem. But we read how Joseph of Arimathea begged the body of the Lord Jesus, and we're told that they took the body and they prepared the body for the burying. If you look at John chapter 19 and verse 40, there is a little phrase there that I want you to see. It says, then took they the body of Jesus and wound it with linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews was to bury. He was buried as the manner of the Jews was to bury. In ancient times there were different customs as to burial. The Egyptians embalmed the bodies of important people, and they would put in their tombs all the important things that that person had in their lifetimes. Sometimes in ancient times people would have been buried with swords or with foodstuffs or with different things. The Saxons in early England, they would have cut off the legs or the feet of the person that they were buried so that they would be unable to walk and come after them, as it were. Aborigine tribes went even further. They cut off the head so that the person would be more concerned with finding their head than to be coming after them. So there were all sorts of customs. But you notice that the Lord Jesus was buried according to the custom of the Jews. And we read that they took these linen cloths and they bound the body of the Lord tightly with linen bands. And then we are told that they took 100 pounds of spices. John chapter 19 and verse 39 says, "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight." Aloes was the name of an aromatic tree which grows in eastern India or in China, parts of China, whose saw bitter wood sends off a lovely fragrance. And they would have taken the dried bark and they would have put it, it was used for embalming or for perfume, fumigation, or embalming of a body. And then myrrh was a very costly perfume. And all this was bound into the linen cloths of the shroud of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're told that he was taken to the new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, which was in a garden nearby. And there they laid the body of the Lord Jesus. And nobody expected a resurrection. Nobody. Not one of them were expecting that the Lord Jesus would raise from the dead. And we read that about that first Sunday now of the resurrection. And what a scene it must have been. We think of Mary Magdalene. She comes early in the morning first to the tomb. And she sees the stone rolled away. And the body of the Lord Jesus was gone. And she goes to Peter and John. And she says they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. And we know not where they have laid him. Now she assumes that the Roman or the Jewish authorities have taken the body of the Lord Jesus. And then the other two disciples run, and John outruns Peter, and he comes first to the tomb, and he looks in, and he sees the empty tomb, and the Bible specifically tells us that he sees the linen clothes lying. Now the word for see there is the ordinary word in Greek for just seeing it. Just see means he beholds it, he glances at it, he just looks here. There's nothing more than that, he just sees it. But the Holy Spirit makes sure that we know what he does see. He sees the linen clothes. And then we read that Peter comes, and Peter goes on into the tomb. He's not worried about the defilement that there would have been in close contact with a dead body. Perhaps he's filled with remorse about what he has done and the denial that he had made. And he goes on in. And look at what it says about him in John chapter 20 and verse 6. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie." Now the word for see there is a different word from what is used about John. This is the word theorio, from which we get our word theorize or theory. And it means that he not only saw, but he contemplated. He considered attentively. He is taken by these linen clothes. There's something unusual about the linen clothes. There's something that draws his attention. And then we read that John comes on into the tomb, and it says that he saw and believed. And again, the word saw is a third word now. This is a different word again for see. And this speaks of considering attentively. It means that he takes it in. He is really intently studying. And this is something dramatic. This is something noteworthy. And it says he sees and believes. As he considers the linen clothes of the Lord Jesus, he sees and believes. Now there's a progression there. And I think that there is a drawing of our attention to these linen clothes, the grave clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ. These disciples see it, they consider it, and when John considers what he sees in the linen clothes, he believes. And I believe that there's a message here. This is not here out of some coincidence. It's not just here written just down and put down here so that it tells the story. But there's a meaning in the clothes, the grave clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, the Bible never calls them grave clothes. Do you notice that? They call them the linen clothes. But nevertheless, there is a lesson for us to learn. And I want us to think about these grave clothes, these linen clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to see the lessons that they want, that they bring to our hearts. And the first thing I want you to see as we contemplate these linen clothes is the crisis they created. You imagine these men now at the tomb, and they're confronted with this sight. They see the stone of the tomb rolled away. And then in John chapter 20 and verse 9, it specifically says, For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must arise again from the dead. Now we're saying that nobody expected the resurrection. And they had seen Lazarus come from the dead. They had seen the raising of the widow of Nain's son and so on. But they were not expecting an empty tomb. And as they come now and as they're faced with this, there is a shock. There is something here that dismays them. And you can imagine the sense of crisis that is in their minds as they're faced with what has happened. Where is the body of the Lord Jesus? We have faced the crucifixion. We have faced the trials and all that has happened in the last few days. And now, one thing upon another, they have taken away the body of the Lord Jesus. Where is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want you to think about the shock that they felt. You imagine the dismay in the hearts of Peter and John as they beheld these things. Here they were coming to the tomb. Oh yes, they had, some of them denied the Lord. Peter denied the Lord. Some of them had fled. But now here they are coming to the tomb. They had not given up their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was still a love for the Savior which had drawn them to the tomb. And in the course of their love and in their course of their serving the Lord Jesus, here they were faced with a situation that they could not explain. The Bible says that these linen cloth, it says specifically about the napkin here, that it was not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And if you look at the meaning of the words, there are some commentators who would say that what was happened here was that the Lord unwound the clothes, and he set it here, he had set it neatly in a place. There are other commentators who say, well, what has happened here, the words, if you examine them very closely, do not mean that. They mean that they were wound the way that they were wound around the body of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the body of the Lord Jesus had passed out of the clothes and they were just lying there the same way as they had been. You think of the napkin wound about his head, and it was as if just it was sitting there and the head had just passed out of it. And they don't know what to make of this. And here they were following the Lord Jesus, and they are coming across a scene that shocks them. And maybe today, as you have followed the Lord Jesus in your life, there are many things that you cannot explain. There are circumstances that, as you have followed the Lord, that dismay you, and maybe have shaken you. And there are those of you today, and you have faced circumstances like that in your life, where you have come across things and you're saying, what is going on? Why are things happening the way that they are? We are seeking to serve the Lord. We're seeking to follow him. And here are things, and we cannot understand. Here were disciples, and they had been at the most perfect Bible school that there'd ever been. These were men who were disciples, or as the Greek term for disciple means, learners. They had sat at Jesus' feet, which was the place where learners would sit in those days. They had been at the school of Christ. And yet, with all their teaching from Christ, And with all their learning in the scriptures, they were still dismayed. And we learn here today that as we go along the pathway of life and as we follow the Lord Jesus, there are circumstances that will dismay us. There are circumstances that we may not be able to understand. Is that you today? There are things that have come along your way in past days, and you have been dismayed and you just can't understand. But I want you to see not only their shock, but look at their stupidity. Because it says in verse 9, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Now the thing is that the Lord had told them what would happen. They had an opportunity to hear the Lord tell them that he would rise again from the dead. And while they were shocked, they shouldn't have been. Because the Lord had made provision for them. You remember in Matthew chapter 12, the scribes and the Pharisees came looking for a sign from the Lord. And the reply of the Lord Jesus was in Matthew 12 and 40, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And he was speaking about his resurrection. It becomes even more specific in Matthew 16, verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day." So he began, so that speaks of a continuous teaching. He told them. Again, we read in Matthew 17 and verse 22 and verse 23, "Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry." Now you notice their reaction. They were sorry. They knew what he had said. They knew that he said he would die. And no doubt in some degree and measure they knew what he had said, that he would be raised from the dead. So they had ample opportunity to have been told, and they knew, and the scriptures had been unfolded, and the Lord Jesus had told them. But somehow, when they were faced with the actual circumstance, all that fled. All that knowledge went. You see, it's okay sometimes to be able to tell what the Bible says about our sufferings, or be able to tell what the Bible says about the death of a loved one, or about our sickness, or whatever circumstance it may be. And you may be able to go and apply the scriptures to somebody else. But when you're faced with the circumstance, when you're faced with the trouble, how often it is that all these things just vanish away. And you know, this is one of the little indications of the reality of the scriptures. One of these incidental incidents that show here was humanity, here were people, they had been told about the resurrection, but somehow, while they knew it with their minds, they just didn't understand with their hearts. You see, you only really know that you know the scriptures when you're faced with the difficulty. And you're able to apply the scriptures to that situation. But how often it is, we can apply the word to somebody else. We can tell what the scripture says about this or that. But somehow, when we're in the midst of it, we forget. We forget. And yet God has sent us his word. God has given us his word to be a comfort, to be a help in the midst of the situation. And what we need to do is make sure we don't just know it with the head, but we know it with the heart. Is there some crisis in your life today? Oh, you know somewhere in the back of your mind that there's an answer in the Bible. And yet you've not laid hold upon the answer. You've not laid hold upon what the Bible says. Thank God the Bible has an answer to your need. But not only do the grave clothes here indicate the crisis they faced, But I want you to see the care they exhibit. If you look at verses 6 to 8 of John chapter 20, it says, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." I believe that these grave clothes were left behind by the Lord Jesus so that the disciples would see and they would believe. They were there as a visual demonstration of what the Lord Jesus had done. So the Lord Jesus could have taken the grave clothes with him, or he could have discarded them somewhere else, but he left them there. He left them there in the way that they had been when they were wrapped around him. Just his body had passed through them. And they were there as a visual demonstration that he had risen from the dead. And they are there as an illustration of the care of the Lord Jesus for his people. Here they were as a pointer to their need. The Lord Jesus gave the grave clothes there as a way of taking away their fear and their dismay and their wonder about what had happened. And they were an indication to those disciples exactly what had happened. And I believe that the Lord had left them there deliberately in order to show his care for them. Now, in order to understand the significance here of the folded grave clothes, you need to recognize what they were. Now, there is an explanation. I don't know if you've ever come across it. There's an explanation out there about the grave clothes, and it's a very neat little illustration, if only it was true. And that is that in the times of the Lord Jesus, when the Hebrew servants would serve the meal to their masters, that they would have this napkin. And when the meal was served and they had brought everything there, the master who was there would take the napkin and he would wipe his mouth and he would clean his hands. And if he was finished with the meal, he would wad the napkin and he would throw it in the middle of the table to indicate that he had finished. And then the servants would come in and they would clear away all the things that were on the table. But if the master was not finished and he wanted to come back to the table, he would fold the napkin and he would leave it there folded. That was an indication to the servants that he was coming back again. And this little illustration says this was an indication to the disciples that the Lord was coming back again. Well, when you examine the evidence that this was a custom, and the whole story is built upon the fact that this was a well-known custom among the Hebrews, but actually that is questionable, whether that was in any way a well-known custom among the Hebrews. In any case, the napkin that is mentioned here, it is called a napkin in the English, but it was a winding that was put around a body. It is different from a napkin that you had at the table. But you know, we don't need that story, because really the Lord Jesus was saying, "I'm alive. I finished my work. I have done what I said I would come to do." And it says that other disciple, when he came in and he saw the napkin, believed. It was there as an illustration in order that we might believe. And you see the care of the Lord Jesus Christ here. You know, when we get into tough spots, and when there are things that we cannot understand, the Lord Jesus has given us little napkins, little indications here and there to encourage us, to help us along the way. You know, in 1 Peter 5 and 17, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And he does. It says in Matthew 10, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are not of more value than many sparrows." And he says that the sparrow may fall to the ground, But he says, I'll provide the care. He's not saying that there will not be things that you can't understand and things that you can't explain. But he says, I'm there to take care of you. And really, in the provision here of the grave clothes, here is an illustration of the Lord taking care of his disciples. He wanted them to understand. He wanted them to see. He wanted them to believe. And he gave this illustration to them in order that they might believe. And I'm glad today that I have a God who watches over us, and a God who cares, and a God who understands. Thank God today the risen Savior still lives, still cares, still loves. And he puts his loving arms around us. And he blesses us with eternal blessings. So we notice the crisis that the grave clothes indicate. And we see the care that they exhibit. But there's a third thing I want you to see, and that is the confirmation they provide. You see, the grave clothes, as we've said, were given there as a confirmation that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. I want you to notice what these grave clothes ruled out. You see, they ruled out the fact that the Lord Jesus' body had been stolen. Now, there were going to be stories, and the enemies of Christ and the Jews and so on were going to make up stories that the body of the Lord Jesus had been stolen by his disciples. The disciples, as you've seen, Mary in particular, believed when she saw the stone rolled away that the Jewish or the Roman authorities had stolen away the body. But when they came in and they saw the linen clothes lying, they knew that his body had not been stolen. For why would a grave robber bother to unwrap all the grave clothes and take them off and lay them there in a neat pile? Why would a grave robber do that? Indeed, if it was a grave robber, those spices that were wound in the winding sheet, the linen sheet themselves, that would have been value. And the expensive pound of spices, that 100 pounds of spices, that certainly would have been of value. So if it had been a grave robber, they would have taken that, and there would have been a commotion, and the things wouldn't have been lying there neatly on the ground, folded together, as we're told they were. So it rules out the fact that the body of the Lord Jesus was stolen. The Lord Jesus here was given a confirmation that indeed he had risen from the dead. Now, even to this day, there are those who would want to deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I don't know if you've heard of James Cameron. He is the director that made that movie Avatar. He also made Titanic and other movies such as that. But in 2007, he unveiled what he claimed was the burial casket of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an ossuary, a bone box, if you like to say. But in 2007, he had a packed press conference, and he had this bone box or ossuary, and it was 3 foot long. And on the front of it, there was a label which said, Jesus, the son of Joseph. And of course, there were documentaries made about that. You might have seen it on the television and so on. Here they had found the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those claims have been rubbished, and I can't go into that today. But you can see it on the internet. If you look those things up, you will see plenty of information how that the claims were completely false. But all I will say is that Amos Clonner, the archaeologist who oversaw the work of finding this ossuary, he said, and I quoted him, he said, I quote, it was an ordinary middle-class Jerusalem burial cave. An ordinary Jewish middle-class burial cave. He went on to say that the names Jesus and Joseph were some of the most common names that were found in the land of Judea in those days. But here they were in the television crews, and all the television media, all were claiming, "We found the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." And men down through the ages, have you seen the programs lately? Buried Secrets or something like that. The Bible's Buried Secrets. There was a series of programs on. An atheist was presenting them. And she came up with the different evidence that about David, there were inscriptions about one of the kings of Judah, the son of David, and so on. But she dismissed it all. She said, "That doesn't convince me that David ever lived." And then all this evidence and all these Old Testament artifacts and so on and so forth. But she says, "It doesn't convince me." And that was a whole program, an whole series of programs made on the television just on the say-so of this atheist commentator or archaeologist. They seek to deny that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But the Lord Jesus was very careful. There were 500 witnesses. We see the grave clothes that were lying. We see all these different things that were left to show the disciples. There was evidence after evidence after evidence. And the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen. And the Lord Jesus Christ here gave the evidence. It rules out the fact that his body was stolen from the grave. But not only do you notice what the grave clothes rule out, but I want you to see what the grave clothes confirm. They confirm the resurrection, but they confirm also some of the great teachings of the Bible about our resurrection as well. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is described in the Bible as the first fruits of them that slept. Because he lives, we shall live also. And you know, the grave clothes testify to that fact. The Lord Jesus, as it were, passed through the grave clothes, and he rose in an instant. And we will rise in an instant. The evidence is here that the Lord Jesus did not get up slowly and unwind the grave clothes and so on, but an instant he rose from the dead. And in an instant, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise. What a day when body and soul is reunited. One day we will walk with these bodies. They will look like our bodies, but they'll be glorified bodies. We will rise in an instant, as he did. There's something else. Not only does it tell us that he is raised, but it tells us Christ here will be raised. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." But not only do these grave clothes foreshadow the fact that Christ was raised from the dead, but it foreshadows shows how he was raised. 2 Corinthians 4 and 14 says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." Or in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So there's a likeness between the way that the Lord Jesus was raised and the way that we are raised. And you notice here that he was raised with this glorified body. In 1 John 3 and 2 it says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him." Now, it is interesting that this glorified body passed through the grave clothes. And you can see, if you read the rest of the story of the resurrection and his appearance with the disciples, it seems as if this glorified body can appear and reappear and disappear. Now, the Bible indicates, the Bible doesn't tell us too much about our glorified bodies. But this is a tantalizing insight, isn't it? These glorified bodies will be different. Yes, they will be our bodies. They will be risen from the grave. It doesn't need that every particle of our bodies will be reassembled. It's like the corn of wheat falling into the ground and it grows up. But our bodies will be like the bodies that we have now. Only they will never die. Only they will never be sick. Thank God they are eternal. Philippians chapter 3 verse 21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Thank God we will have a glorious body. Those that are saved today, we can look forward to that day when body and soul will be reunited and we'll walk with Christ throughout the countless ages of eternity. What exactly these glorified bodies will be, we don't know. How exactly these glorified bodies will work, we don't know. But thank God they are changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that we'll meet our loved ones, our saved loved ones? They'll walk with them, talk with them throughout the countless ages of eternity. This world, this old life is just a preparation ground for eternity itself. What a glorious prospect there is for every child of God. Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you believe that Christ was risen? Do you believe that he's the first fruits of them that sleep? You know, many of the disciples gave their lives for that testimony. Many of them were slain rather than deny the resurrection of Christ. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Philip was scourged and thrown into prison and then crucified. Matthew was slain with a crude half axe and half sword and weapon called a halberd. Andrew was crucified. Mark was dragged to pieces. Bartholomew was beaten and crucified. Peter was crucified. John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. And all did that rather than deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it happened. Because they saw the risen Christ. He is risen indeed. Do you know the risen Savior? Do you know my Jesus? Oh dear friend, come today and trust in him. And let's serve him. He's there to comfort, to help, and to guide. He is risen indeed. Oh, may we rejoice in that fact today. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We rejoice in the word of God that is spoken. And we rejoice in the truth that has come to our hearts, that one day we will be glorified like unto thy glorious body. Lord, we'll not be glorified like thee, as it were, but we will have those glorious bodies. Oh God, we thank thee that we're saved. We thank thee for everyone in this meeting that is washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And our God, we pray that we might see the grave clothes, see that they're empty, see that they're discarded, and thank God death has been conquered. Help us, Lord, to close in with thee today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.